The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, with John Mueller. Mondays and Wednesdays at 8 p.m. on the Progressive Radio Network.
South of the border, down Mexico way, that's where I fell in love. When the
Hi, everybody. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the one-of-a-kind show that tells you what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire in Latin America. So let's get started.
Down Mexico way.
Okay, let's talk about some emails right now before I get into the main topics. Now, a show or two ago, I mentioned that it's a really good idea to carry around some cash with you, especially in the local currency. Because if you use dollars or euros, you'll always get clipped a little bit, anywhere from 2 to 20%. And I also mentioned you should always change your dollars or euros at a bank. Because any of these other places that'll offer to change your money, like the money changer guys on the street, and please, do keep away from them. And I'll tell you why in a minute. And if you think that your own hotel, or the restaurant next door, or the hardware store across the street are doing you such a great favor by changing your money, well, they're really doing themselves a favor and not you. So it boils down to just this. You can expect to get clipped at any other place except a bank. So if for some reason you need local cash right away, and that happens all the time, believe me. Well, if you can't find a bank, or it's after hours, or you can't find an ATM machine, well, you can count on losing from 2 to 20%. Oh yeah, and I forgot to mention, most ATM machines will give you the bank rate, or very close to it. But more on that later. Now, some listeners sent me emails saying, well, using cash in the third world, well, that's not safe. I'd rather use my credit card. Because at least if I use my credit card, and somehow I get screwed by being overcharged, having additional charges, or whatever, well, eventually, you can straighten it out and get the charges dropped off your bill, right? Yes, in theory, you can do that. And a lot of us in the first world have done it, and it does take a long time and a lot of effort. And you know what kind of a pain that can be up in the first world. Now imagine you're contesting a charge that you made down in Paraguay, where they not only do all their business in Spanish, but all the bank statements are in Spanish too. Now, what are you going to do about that? And since we're on the topic of credit cards, you'll come down here as a tourist with a credit card or two or ten issued from a bank in the United States. That's for sure. And those banks that issue credit cards in the United States, they do give you that protection, that insurance against additional charges or theft of your credit card numbers, including unauthorized use and all that. And you're fully protected, at least in theory, as long as you report a problem like that within a given period of time. Now, let's talk about expats down here who have a credit card or two or ten issued from banks down here in Latin America. Now, the big companies like Visa and MasterCard are connected with all the big banks down here in Latin America, too. In fact, I have a Visa card that looks absolutely like any Visa card from the United States, only it's issued by a third world bank. And you might think, because it's a Visa card, that I have all the perks and privileges that you have with your Visa card issued on a bank somewhere up in Cincinnati. Well, let me give you a heads up on that. In the first place, down here, if someone steals my credit card or my card and PIN numbers and uses them without authorization, I'm liable for that. And down here it's a well-known fact, especially among the banking community, that credit card numbers and the cards themselves get stolen and cloned at a rate about 10 times greater than any of those in the first world. And that's why I always recommend you avoid using plastic down here at all costs. And if you have to do it, like at a hotel where they always ask for an imprint of your credit card first, don't let them take it into another room and do it. What I mean is, don't let it out of your sight. Because the fact is, there isn't a single person that I know down here with a credit card or two or ten who hasn't been stuck for at least some charges that he never rang up himself. And the vast majority of the time, the credit card company won't wipe the charges and you'll have to pay up yourself. Because it's very difficult, even for a Latin guy who's lived down here all his life, to prove that he didn't ring up those charges. So imagine what it would be like for you when Spanish is your second language, or you don't speak it much at all. Good luck. Now, over the years, I've been through exactly that myself. I've been down to banks and sat around for hours pleading my case and trying to get them to straighten things out for me. And they always tell you to come back later or that they'll call you. And guess what? they don't call you. But there is a solution to the problem. That is, besides never using your credit card, like I recommend. You see, it boils down to the fact that if you have a Visa or MasterCard or whatever drawn on a local bank, you don't have that credit card insurance like you do up in the first world. And in most cases, when you get your card, they never tell you that. And why should they? It's in the fine print of the contract. And that's what they tell you the first time you come in all irate because someone put some extra charges on your card. But the big thing in your favor is that every bank and credit card company down here offers additional credit card insurance on the side. And if you check that box on the form when you're applying for your credit card, they'll bill you anywhere from $3 to $5 a month for the privilege of having the same insurance that you get for free if you'd had that card in the States. So even though it maybe costs you $50 a year, I highly recommend you check that box and do it. Otherwise, you're just out there like a wino in traffic, and you're going to get hit and you're going to pay. Now, lucky for me, after getting stuck for a few small charges on my very first Latin American Visa card, I caved in and bought some of that credit card insurance that cost me $3 a month for a credit card that had a limit of $2,500. And man, I was sure glad I did, because just 1 month later, when I was in Estapa, Mexico, at a 3.5-star hotel complex, no less, two credit card billing cycles later, I got stuck for a $2,000 charge I never posted. And it was from a Mexican appliance store. It seems someone got my number and bought a few plasma TVs. And I'm sure some Mexican lowlifes are having a good old time watching soccer games and soap operas on my dime right now as I tell you this story. Well, it would have been on my dime if I hadn't bought that insurance. And yes, I got it straightened out. And by the way, don't worry if you don't know too much Spanish, or almost no Spanish at all, and you're having a lot of trouble with one of those credit card bills. Because, you know, figuring out one of those bills, even in the first world, can be a pain in the ass. And when it comes to utility bills, well, we'll talk about that later, because that's even worse. But since I did mention utility bills, and I've been getting some email questions on them lately, I have to mention that even for the locals, they're impossible to figure out. But like I said, we'll talk about that later. Anyway, if you don't know much Spanish at all and you're having trouble with that Visa or MasterCard bill, there'll always be some people in your bank that speak very good English and will help you out. And if you can't locate one right away on the main floor, just ask for someone in the international department where they do letters of credit, because I guarantee you everybody in that department will speak very good English. And every time I've had trouble with my bank statements, they've been glad to help me. Okay, getting back to that email about using credit cards. Well, there's one other very good reason why you shouldn't use a credit card down here, besides the fact that in good time, you'll probably end up racking up charges that you're sure you never made. Anyway, 90% of the places where you might want to use your credit card, like restaurants and bars and hotels and gift shops, well, most of these places will have a little sign up by the cash register pointing out that you're going to pay an extra surcharge if you use your plastic. And those extra charges could be anywhere from 2 to 20% also. And I know what you're thinking. Back a few years ago, up in the first world, there was a lot of that going around too, where if you used your credit card, they might slap a surcharge on you, calling it a processing fee or a handling charge or whatever. And people said it was discrimination and it went to court. And I believe now they can't do that. Not up in the first world, anyway. Though, if you took a good look at any credit card statement, there's 100 different ways they could disguise a handling fee like that, and you'd never know it. Anyway, down here in the third world, there's no such consumer protection law, so they can discriminate against you if you use a credit card, and they do. So, if you think using a credit card down here is some kind of convenience, you're wrong. There's 101 ways they nickel and dime you to death every time you use one. And because the people down here are so enamored with all things first world, having a wallet full of credit cards is a status symbol over here, just like it was 20, 30, or 40 years ago up in the first world. I'm sure some of you out there remember that, when you had a credit card for every store you visited, from Target to Walmart to JCPenney's to Sears and Marshall Fields and Lord & Taylor, and you felt good about that, like you were something special. But these days, if you have a wallet full of credit cards in the first world, it's nothing to brag about, because it probably means you have a truckload of credit card debt too, and that's the most expensive kind of debt to carry. And now our Latin American neighbors are all jumping on that bandwagon in a big way. It's becoming a credit card debt society down here, and they just can't help themselves. And it's become a gold mine for all the first world franchise banks that have landed down here in the past 2 or 3 years. And for all you U.S. citizens up there who are wondering where that bank bailout money went, a lot of it came directly down here where the first world banks have opened up thousands of franchises, especially Citibank. In fact, the Latin population is so gullible, they're falling for all those same tricks the banks pulled on us 20, 30, and 40 years ago. They don't even have to be creative or reinvent the rules. What worked on us idiots 30 and 40 years ago is working on them right now. And even though less than 50% of the working population down here can even qualify for a credit card, that segment of the population who have them have become complete slaves to the system. And all you got to do to prove that to yourself is to walk into a Pizza Hut or a McDonald's or a Wendy's or any of the fast food joints down here. Just stand in line and watch how many people pay for a $3 Happy Meal or a couple of slices of pizza with a credit card. In fact, the first time you see that happen, you just can't believe that the average guy down here doesn't even have $3 in change on him. Hell, right now, I could dig that much out of the cushions from my living room sofa. Maybe I've been away too long, but tell me, who in the first world, in the right mind, would put $3 on a credit card? And what business up there would even let you do that? But that's not all. As you stand in line, you'll see another very strange thing. Half those same people at McDonald's get their credit cards rejected, and they'll go through that deck of plastic until they get one that finally works. I mean, getting your credit card rejected on a couple of double cheeseburgers, come on. Now, you know what it's like up in the first world when you get a credit card rejected, especially at a restaurant or in front of your friends. I mean, that always puts a damper on the event, doesn't it? And we always make a few excuses to save face, right? Well, down here in Latin America, it's so common to get your card rejected, there doesn't seem to be any stigma or embarrassment attached to it at all. You just move on from card to card until one of them finally goes through. Or not. And while I'm at it, I might as well tell you about the latest credit card scam that's going around down here. And this is a good one. Now, first we should talk about the Russian mob, which in fact has invaded Latin America to some degree too. I guess 75 years of communism was all the fine-tuning these guys needed to scam practically any system. And what they're really good at least down here anyway, is scamming tourists at the cash machine. Which means down here, especially in the tourist areas, your trusty ATM machine ain't so trusty. And these Russian mob guys, their Spanish might not be very good, but they're smarter than you think. Because they know that the tourists have high limits on their plastic. And they can scam a tourist for $2,000, $5,000, $10,000, or $20,000 right up to your limit. Whereas a local Latin guy's plastic might only have a limit of $1,000. So that's all a thief can get. And that's why these Russian mob guys don't spend much time in the big cities off the tourist track. It's just not worth it for them. Because tourists and their high limit credit cards are the real gold mine. And if you scam a tourist at a cash machine, there's almost nothing he or she can do about it, not knowing the language, not to mention the fact that they're usually on tight schedules, or they might be in a tour group that they can't leave, and they got to get home in a hurry. So that makes them perfect targets for a scam. And naturally, the banks are trying to keep a lid on it because it's very bad PR. But if you talk to the right people at any one of these big banks, and I have, well, they'll tell you how they've been finding these little miniature button-sized remote cameras stuck on a wall or a post nearby an ATM machine aimed at the touchpad where you put your PIN number in. And along with that, they've been finding tiny little micro card readers hidden in the slot where you put in your credit card to get swiped. And most of the time, this occurs in a shopping mall where there's a public bathroom nearby. And the guy who placed that camera and card reader, he's in one of the stalls recording those card swipes and PIN numbers. And it's all part of a big credit card cloning operation. And like I said, this story's not well reported, but it's obviously having a big effect because I've noticed in the last few months, little by little, the ATM machines, especially in the tourist areas, are starting to get modified. And most obviously around the keypad area where you punch in your PIN number. Now, you have to stick your hand under a plastic cover, and no one who's standing around that machine, or any hidden camera pointed at it, can get a good view of the PIN number that you're punching in. So that should stop that kind of crime for a few months, at least until those guys figure out another scam. But there's a much more clever and simple scam going down here right now, and you won't believe this. And this new one doesn't seem to have anything to do with the Russian mob. It's more an operation to scam the locals, not the tourists, and here's how it goes. The thieves take a regular piece of plastic sheeting and cut out a credit card from it. They cut a little slot in the near end of this fake credit card, then they wedge a foot-long piece of dental floss into that slot. Then they shove the fake credit card into the card slot, hold on to the dental floss, and as the fake card gets sucked into the machine, the dental floss gets pulled in with it, leaving the two ends of the dental floss still hanging out of the front of the machine. Then they tuck the two ends of the dental floss under the slot and use silicone glue to tack the ends of the floss underneath the slot so you can't see it. And they do this early in the morning in a shopping mall before any of the real crowds of people start coming in. Now, when a real customer walks up to the machine and sticks his credit card in there, it's going to get stuck, held up by the dental floss that's hanging down like a loop deep in the slot. And no matter what the guy does, the card's not going to come back out. But he's going to see a sticker right on the front of the machine, a sticker that the thieves put there just moments before they left. And it says something like, "Dear client, if there's any problem with this machine, or you've inserted your credit card and it's not been returned, call this number to resolve your problems." And when the client calls that number, the person on the phone asks them for their name and address and phone and their PIN number. And they almost always oblige. And as soon as they walk away from the machine, the thief, who is conveniently the next guy in line, he takes out a tiny medical forceps, grabs the hidden ends of the dental floss, and pulls that card that was hung up inside right back out through the front of the slot. And now he has the credit card, and his accomplice on the phone has the PIN number, and he's in a shopping mall, so he can go on a shopping spree, or start right in with some cash withdrawals. But you see, a scam like that can't work very well against tourists, because the sticker that they put on the machine isn't Spanish, and the person who's going to answer that phone, a supposed bank employee, is also going to speak pure Spanish. So it's something that the locals and expats who speak Spanish have to worry about. So if it happens to a tourist and he loses his card that way, at least they'll never get his PIN number. But even so, he's going to freak out. Okay, enough about that. So let's get back to last week's topic about how to protect your valuables, your passport, your money, whatever. Because I have some great solutions, whether you're an expat or a tourist. So what you probably don't know is that there's a lot of robberies on the beach down here. And even if you're at a nice 3 or 4 star, well-protected hotel complex connected to a beach, you're still at high risk of being robbed. In fact, on every hotel property, even 4-star hotel properties, there's a sign somewhere that says that the management is not responsible for your belongings when you're out on the grounds. And that pretty much means anywhere outside your room, including the beach. And the reason why a tourist or an expat is an easy mark on the beach is because throughout Latin America, just like in the first world, the vast majority of beaches are considered public property and anyone can use them. And that's why I always laugh down here when someone says to me they just bought some beautiful beachfront property. Because I know that in most cases the law says that you only own the property 10 meters in from the high tide mark. And the rest of that beach is public. And everybody, and I mean everybody, has a right to hang out there. And local thieves and scoundrels? Well, that's their favorite place, especially in the tourist areas. And when you do see a big old mansion or a multi-million dollar complex, you'll always see that they have their property walled or fenced in, but you'll notice right where the property meets the beach, there's always a space in the fence or the wall for people to pass through. Which means if you own beachfront property, you are not exactly secure. And that's why if you buy a beachfront vacation home down here and only use it once in a while, and you don't have a full-time guard, then you're asking to get robbed, and I guarantee eventually you will. But what about your personal security? When you're alone or with somebody else, down on the beach walking, or in the water, snorkeling, swimming, or just hanging around. Now, if it's in the daytime and you're with one or more persons, the chances are you're never going to get robbed. You'll be just like every other partier on the beach, having a good time, and no one's going to bother you. However, if you're alone, just walking around or jogging down the beach line, like I was a few years back on Ipanema Beach in Rio, and two guys pulled a knife on me in broad daylight and got my fanny pack. And if you've been listening to any of my past shows, you know they didn't get my mother load, they just got my decoy wallet and my expired credit cards. And the operative word here is expired. And let me tell you, everybody's got some of those in their junk drawer around the house, and it's a real good idea to hang on to a few of those because they come in real handy for that decoy wallet in your fanny pack. And I told you all about that in last week's show, so go back and check it out. Now, also in one of last week's shows, I told you about my belt with the secret zipper and the hidden pouch that's connected by a loop to the belt that hangs down in front of your pants, just in front of or to the left of your crotch. And that setup is absolutely great and almost foolproof for any place you might want to go. But unfortunately, that leather belt and zipper and that hidden pouch, well, they're not waterproof, and I hope someday someone will figure out how to do that. So for now, if you're swimming or snorkeling or into any other kind of water sports, you're not going to go into the water with that stuff on. So what do you do with it? Well, if you don't have a friend nearby sitting on a beach chair under an umbrella, sucking on a couple of pina coladas, and minding your belt and pouch while you're in the water, well, you got a problem. And even if he or she is minding your things, that person might not be a match for a dedicated thief who's been hanging in the wings and scoping out your stuff. And the mistake a lot of tourists make is leaving their valuables inside of a beach bag and sticking them next to their friend. Sometimes that's just not good enough. Your friend might just take a quick walk to the restroom or doze off. And that's right when those bad boys are going to make their move and sneak in and take your mother load. I saw that happen 20 feet away from me to an Australian couple on a cruise sitting on a beautiful pure white beach in Roatan. The guy was in the water snorkeling and the lady was lounging in her beach chair with her sunglasses on, sleeping away. And the next thing you know, she's looking for her beach bag, which has her husband's wallet. Now, there's nothing that puts a damper on a vacation faster than that, especially since they were on a cruise and only there for one day, and they had to report back to the ship by 5 o'clock or get left behind. Well, those two Australians were frantic, and she cried a lot, but crying doesn't help. But I'll tell you what does. You just Google Walkabout Travel Gear again, the company I told you about in last week's show, and for $15, you can buy a very valuable piece of equipment. It's about a 4 or 5 foot length of cable that retracts into a tiny spool no bigger than a pack of cigarettes. And you can wrap it around anything, and it's nearly impossible to cut through it without some special tools. And once you've wrapped it around something, it locks tight. So as you can imagine, there's 1,001 uses for it. Go ahead and Google it and see what I mean. So here's some more good advice. When you're on the beach, what you should have is a small little plastic beer cooler. You know, the kind that holds just a six-pack, no more. And you put your special belt and your fanny pack and your special pouch in that cooler. And don't forget to put them in a plastic Ziploc bag first, so they don't get full of mayonnaise and ketchup from your sandwiches. And when you're on vacation down here, whether you're an expat or a regular tourist, Ziploc bags, heavy-duty Ziploc bags. And you can get them at all the stores down here, too. Now, you never can have enough of those, either. Okay, now you got all your secret stuff and your valuables in that little cooler. Now what? Then you loop that cable from Walkabout Travel through the handle of the cooler and wrap it around the cooler a few more times. Then, thread the little cable through one of the holes or openings in your beach chair. And then, pull that retractable cable tight so that there's no slack. Now, if someone wants to steal that cooler with all your valuable stuff in it, they'll have to run off carrying that beach chair along with it. Not very inconspicuous. You get the idea? And note that you can use that cable to wrap around any purse or bag that you have valuables in, especially if you have to leave something like that in your hotel room. Go ahead and use that cable system to secure just about anything you have. Just loop it through an end table or a bed frame or any solid object that's in your hotel room, and nobody's going to walk off with it unless they have a pretty special toolkit with them. In fact, I can think of 1,000 uses for that little walkabout cable thing, especially if your hotel room door has an iffy lock or a window that's just not secure. You could just wrap it around practically anything and secure it tight. Oh, and I forgot to tell you, to get it open, it has a 3-digit combination lock built into it. And don't think because it's got a steel cable that it's bulky and unwieldy. Because it's not. It's very thin and flexible. In fact, that steel cable is about as thick as the mouse cable on your computer. So check it out. And speaking of getting robbed in a low-budget hotel room, well, you'd be surprised at how many stories I've heard about people being robbed in the middle of the night. I mean, while you're right in the room, and many times, by the time you're awake, or have even figured it out, he's long gone, and so is your stuff. And almost always in tourist towns, by the way. Because thieves in tourist towns have it down to an art. And one of their favorite ways is to check out the Europeans and gringos who like to go out and party. They might be that very pleasant guy sitting right next to you at the bars and discos, laughing and joking with you while you're having a good old time and getting hammered. And after they've got you scoped out, they'll trail you at a distance when you leave that bar or disco and check out exactly where you're living. And if you're staying at one of the low-budget hotels, a lot of these thieves, they'll know exactly how to get in. And they'll usually come right through the front door because it's just not secure. And sometimes they won't even have to jimmy it because some of these guys have their own pass keys. Down here, almost no one ever changes a lock. So if you're a dedicated thief and you live down in a tourist area, you could stay over at some of these cheap hotels, take your own room key and have it copied, and do it over and over again with different rooms until you've got a nice set. So here's my next recommendation, the Walkabout Travel Gear website again. So go ahead and Google it. And for $10, you can get a Walkabout door lock, a tiny little metal sliding gadget, a little bigger than a Swiss Army knife, that hooks into your door's locking mechanism from the inside and won't allow even a person with a key on the outside to get in. Now that makes you perfectly secure inside your room, no matter how drunk you are, from people trying to break in through the door. And remember, I use these Walkabout gadgets myself, and I have nothing to do with that company. But sometimes I think I should get a commission. How about it, guys? Oh, and speaking of Swiss Army knives, that's another thing people like to steal down here. In fact, believe it or not, I lost two of them in my check-through luggage at the airport. And some baggage handler, one in Bolivia and one in Venezuela, stole mine by making a surgical slice through my baggage. And by the way, when it comes to Swiss Army knives, buy the Swiss Army knife. Don't buy the ones that look like Swiss Army knives that are half as cheap and are made in China. And by the way, how can it be a Swiss Army knife if it says China on it? Wouldn't that be a Chinese Army knife? Answer that one for me, will ya?
South of the border, down Mexico.
You've been listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America. And don't forget you can email me on anything at all about Latin America. TheExpatFiles@gmail.com. That's TheExpatFiles@gmail.com.
My thoughts ever stray south of the border.